いらっしゃいませ、やらでも。 Yes, another coffee to the gym for you. So, I was off for a few days, so my first part, so this is going to be a two-part thing. Part one is about, I went to Coffee Fest for my third time and had a really good experience. I got to meet a friend of a friend who's in the hospitality industry, and he was a very curious person, very passionate, and you could see that when someone's energy is truly lined up with their job, right, that passion, that right fit, it's, wow, really something magical. Also, his love for Disney, another magical thing. I think, though, it's maybe not coincidence, maybe coincidence, the attention to the customer service is something Disney has traditionally been. Obviously, it's a bit from the values. And that's kind of where my second part is going to go. The Starbucks, there was a letter from Howard Schultz to the current company to remember to, you know, go back to its roots. And there's a, you know, kind of an inflection point, and Starbucks is kind of at a turning point. Very interesting. So that I'll come back to in a little bit. Coffee Fest was good. I was not as... maybe not as excited as my previous coffee events. I think this time, since I already know a lot about coffee and I'm not in the process of like opening my own cafe or engaging in those sorts of things, I didn't really have much to take away, but I was able to learn some stuffs. The oncoming AI change is gonna be something of a big, like, big revolution for all customer service-based stuff. For example, the ordering points, probably for most not restaurants, even restaurants, there may be ordering points where you talk to a thing, it gets your order, you sit down, boom, and then it's that. You know, that maybe is a good thing because it ensures order correctness and people are just like not able to be like, oh, I said this, but it's like, look, you said it to the robot, that's the thing. So we'll see. The other things being in terms of robots for labor, for cleaning sort of stuff. There was a robot I saw that just sort of go around and pick up trees. That's an interesting thing and one of the selling points, even in the talks I also heard about the AI and robots and all that crap, was that, right, in terms of labor, if you're short, let's say you're short labor because, right, there's no one taking the job, that is one pro of the AI or robots. They are going to be your best employee. Never call out sick, never late, they're always there, always working, never complain, and it just, the job is always the same. So I think in terms of consistent customer experience, I have to say robots and AI are a very cool thing because it ensures that you are always giving your customers the same exact experience. There's no, variety. I mean, like for Starbucks, let's say they were to theoretically implement AI tomorrow, there would still have the barista part of crafting the drinks, or that a handoff portion would be more important than the order taking. Because the order taking, I know, right? But I also saw a machine, like a vending machine, like I've seen those in Japan. I mean, obviously, this is old technology, but you know, becoming more. So this one, there was a pizza one, so you could order pizza and make it. There was a coffee one as well, and drinks. I mean, that's pretty, I don't think, complicated stuff. This stuff has existed. I think, you know, it's become more mainstream. And, you know, something good enough, does it taste good enough, then, right, does it really matter? That's a really curious thing, too. So we'll kind of see, but I think, right, for at the end of the day, right, that attention to detail as well as like giving the same consistent experience or like a good one is important. So I don't know, AI coming and it's changing so quick, we could see things really like rapidly changing, which is the, you know, sort of that exponential growth that really like will change really quick. So stay tuned for that. So back to Coffee Fest. Yeah, good coffee as usual. There was all kinds of vendor, good stuff. coffee is coffee. I mean, at this point in my coffee career, really, I'm not too like, oh, I need to have this particular coffee. I just appreciate whatever coffee for what it is. And yeah. The other lectures were just sort of general businessy kind of stuff. The coffee numbers is trending on ice drinks, as I've said before, so that's kind of a thing. And then from my senpai's friend was learning that, right, when things are truly in alignment, specifically for like this person, but even for an organization, then you really can accomplish more. And like, for example, at Starbucks, it's interesting because I didn't know this until work today, that Howard had made a letter on LinkedIn addressing Starbucks. And honestly, just reading it, looking over the reviews of what it would said, definitely very similar to my thoughts on Starbucks. Maybe very is a strong word, but similar vein that there is sort of an inflection point for Starbucks. Right, Howard was always very concerned with the partners first and that culture. Starbucks is transitioning, shifting towards more of a corporate focus on money. And as it goes, when an organization gets that big, I think we can observe this, just to note it, okay, see what's happening. Right, because that brings up the whole union situation. I don't know exactly. I personally probably am more erring on this side of favoring things for the workers. Right? I'm not some big CEO. I've never owned a company or had to deal with that. So I don't really have perspective on considering things that at that scale of dealing with people, making sure things are working, because it's, you know, if you have a company as big as Starbucks, you have a great power, great responsibility to make sure things go as they should. That you have a kind of responsibility to your customers, to your partners, to make sure things are, you know, a certain standard. I mean, shareholders first, but I read Setting the Table, which is a book on giving top quality customer service, that specifically in the fine dining field, and that, while different from Starbucks, right, the essence of hospitality is the same in giving, rather creating these moments, similar to my friend's friend, that, you know, you're in the catering business, you are in the experience business, which Starbucks is in. Starbucks is not a coffee company. And by that I mean Starbucks doesn't sell coffee primarily, it sells the experience of consistency and the feeling that you get by going to Starbucks, yada yada. You know. And at this point, convenience. And because we are selling convenience, well, you can monetize convenience with drive-thrus. And that's why Starbucks culture is shifting, because maybe people are also appreciating the ability to go to Starbucks from their car. I get it, right? You don't want to get in your car, you just go, you get your stuff. Because there were coffee change vendors, you know, companies that talked about running their own, like, drive-thru store. And, right, we've only get to see Starbucks, Dunkin' Donuts, these big companies. Dutch Brothers I heard about on the West Coast, but we won't have it here. So I imagine it's the same. So this is actually really good food for thought, in that traditional coffee cafes, right, there's just, you go in and you have that cafe experience. But in the more recent years, it's also developing convenience of drive-thrus. Also then the money that you make for that, because you're able to go through more customers more quickly, which, right, does make sense with Starbucks's focus on drive-thru numbers, because the more the faster you do people, the more money you make, because you're able to go through more customers. Now, if you're staffed correctly or not, right, Pin in that, random observation from recent times. My manager and district manager, I don't know. Like, this is not a necessarily a knock on them. Maybe they're not quite aware of, like, right, the drinks coming in. But for example, right, we have tons of drinks coming in, but they're sort of just there chatting. And it's kind of like, I don't know. For me, right, if you're the leader in charge, and this is what I've taken away from my experience, having run my own business, having gone to these coffee things, that, you know, it was reiterated, this last one, that if you're a manager, the whole point of your job is to empower your employees, partners, cast members, whatever effing word you want to use to, like, you know, tell whatever story.
Okay.
So, right, your job as leader, which I've learned from, like, Keys to the Shop, another podcast, is you want to empower. And, you know, once you have leadership, that power of being able to do stuff, then you're able to, like, support your staff or your team, right? Whatever you want, you know, whatever, tomato, tomato. And allow them to, like, just do their best jobs. And then, actually, I listened to, like, one of the conversation corners, and two owners were, like, saying, yeah, like, I'll be there, like, just making sure I'm stocking milk, cleaning stuff so my baristas can, or, like, our baristas can make the drinks. You know, to me, that's a really important lesson here. And the lesson here being that as a leader, you want to lead through example and showing people, hey, this is what we do, this is how we do it, and then people sort of follow. And definitely, like, a side grade of this is energy. I know, it's like mumbo jumbo, wumbo lumbo, like, you know, wow, wow, we, not wow, wow, like, you know, it's like a sort of, like, woo-woo kind of thing. But I don't know. I want to tell you, like, energy and, like, the vibe of people, things like that. Ooh, I wish there was more, like, it's not really science at this point. It's more like a soul kind of thing. But I definitely believe more in that now, because it's, you could really shift the vibe or energy of something just by how you're, right, one person, your attitude and team, right, or, right, it's one bad apple can ruin the bunch. So I don't know, just, I think Howard's words here echo an interesting sentiment in that, hey, like, Starbucks can go in a few different ways right now. You know, depending how we lead and how the company goes, like, I won't be with Starbucks anymore, and I'm, you know, when I'm done, I will publish a video that I really, I think, you know, half an hour or whatever of just talking about this, because I think it's important stuff, because Starbucks really can go in different ways. And, you know, if it goes more, let's say, the corporate, okay, that's just what Starbucks will be. You know, if you know, the problem I've observed is Starbucks wants everything. Rightfully so. A corporation wants to make as much money. And at the end of the day, you can't please everyone, right? Not everyone's going to be your customer. Or, for example, all right, if I want to, like, do my own coffee thing on Sunday weekends for events, like, I was, like, looked at it before, I'm like, wait a minute, I don't need to serve espresso at events. That's way more effort. Like, to have the espresso machine, to have that going, you could just have, like, cold brew, hot coffee, milk for stuff, because, like, steaming is, like, a whole other thing, a power issue. Right, the logistics of just preparing coffee and tea ahead of time, way easier. Or you could even have these big things of hot water, so you could just, you know, make your whatever for events. That's interesting. I think that's definitely an area of exploration opportunity for me, a la Clavi Clavi. And I do have all my podcasts, so you can be like, oh, this is what this guy's about. This is, you know, why we want to support him. And from Coffee Fest, another important note I have seen is the community aspect for coffee as an industry. So there are really two parts to the Coffee Fest, and it's the two parts every year. So there's a restaurant, international food show, then there's the coffee part. Like, they're actually maybe... No, it's definitely more for the food, definitely, because there's bigger stuff. But the coffee part was pretty well sized. A lot of different like coffee vendors, because right, coffee is a pretty big industry, and you know that information and stuff. I ended up not going all the days. I felt, you know, really exhausted. I had a really good experience with my friends who were in the restaurant industry, and getting to sort of, you know, learn from them, and because we can learn and study a lot, and the important aspect of that is then you have to also apply that to your life, and the only way to apply that is by living and doing. So then you can see I can only do live, and whatever happens will happen, and we'll see. I'm excited for the future. We'll see what the Starbucks has to do. We have you know, good stuff, maybe not. But yes, the kind of little thoughts of Coffee Fest for you, and then I don't know, the Howard sort of maybe a little bit of an acknowledgement of what's going on, that the company is shifting. I mean, because he's not in charge, it's been passed on to Laxman. You know, it's just kind of like, I think it's really a good example of what, as of now, what could happen to a company, even if it was really well-intentioned, right? You go the route of corporate. If you're not careful, right, it's very easy to fall into those notion of that. Because, right, if you're all concerned more about the profits, then all of a sudden, you know, this opens up the door for things like the unions to really happen. Because, like, you just think about it. If Starbucks had, or any company, to really takes good care of their people, then the people are not going to want to unionize. But that had, you know, maybe it drifted a little bit, so people were like, wait a minute, the hell's going on here? Well, there you have it. That, I'll be curious to see. I'm always asked when I'm work, not when I'm working, but people ask, oh, are you serious? So you guys know, it's not, so like the people who are really passionate about unionizing are very into it, but then like it's a very unclear thing, especially with the how it's been handled by the company, kind of propaganda as well. You know, in my experience, that I was kind of branded an outcast by my manager. You know, this is what I heard through other baristas who were with the company, and other people had talked with them, and you know, friends of friends, and it's just like, all right, people are telling me this story. Maybe it's true, maybe it's not. I don't really know. Kind of falls in line of how things went with my experience, that you know, people were like, I didn't talk with this Clav guy because this, and it's like, okay, which is curious that, you know, manager would talk that way. This could just be like the individual manager, this could be exemplary of like Starbucks, you know, we don't know. And for me, that's a point of interest, because I can't really know for sure if my experience is just, you know, Starbucks, or just sort of like my neck of the woods of Starbucks, like near the New York metro area. I've heard that on the, you know, West Coast, you know, closer to the headquarters, it's a little bit different. And I did maybe see some of that with my experience going to Costa Rica. So maybe, right, this is just natural differences that you're going to have in the Starbucks. And I don't know, just some thoughts for you. Definitely, Coffee Fest was good, learned a lot, and just really focus on life and living and, you know, serving the best. So I'll have more another time, and you enjoy.